If you would have told me a year ago that I'd be on the radio promoting a advice hotline, I probably would have written you off as delusional. But when my life hit a wall, a colleague gave me the address of 12listen.com.
Welcome to Moe's Pace 234.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Moe's Paisley Penny Arcade. How are ya? I'm Moe. This is the Paisley Penny Arcade. Look around. Look around. It's a strange place to be. Just thank goodness you're not in my mind, because that's a much stranger place to be. Have a seat. Grab a bin bag. Grab a beanbag chair, if you will, or whatever seat you can find. There are some real comfy leather chairs, if you'd like them. They're not real leather. They're not. So don't freak out there, you know. They're pleather. Naga hide. Remember Naga hide? That was a big deal once upon a time. Yep, there's a Naga hide chair. There's some suede, but it's fake suede. What did they call that? Fouad? Or Fouad? I knew people named Fouad. That's a different story completely. Now, he said he knew someone named Fouad. Send out the police or the people who investigate people named Fouad. Send them out. Send them out. Yes, it's a whole strange new world. Stranger even than I could have imagined, and I can imagine some pretty strange things. Did it freak you out? No, it didn't freak me out, because it was what I expected, but it was, like, more bizarre than I... It was just, wow. It was weird. So weird. It was like,
don't watch them. It will make you crazy.
So anyway, I'm going to talk today about creativity. Yes, I will. Because I think this is the perfect time. This is the perfect time for creativity. And we all need to be creative during times like this.
Yes, I believe that to be true.
Today, by the way, is yes, it is still January the 22nd of 2025. I keep writing in my journal, January 22nd, 2024, and that's just the wrong day. The Creative Mind. That's what I'm calling this show, The Creative Mind, and I'll probably call it something else. Who knows? Stressful times are the most creative. Now, a lot of people don't agree with me. I don't know why they don't. Now, you're going to have to pardon me through the show. I'm going to hang on. I have my allergies. They were worst earlier today, and then I took some more allergy medicine. The wind is blowing, and when the wind blows, oh, it blows the allergens directly into my brain, which makes me a little nuts, but also into my sinuses, which makes me sneeze, if you please. So I took some more medicine so that I will be less sneezy. Creativity is important stuff to me. I love creativity. It's a lot of fun. I enjoy being creative, and you probably do too. And creativity doesn't have to be, voila, I have created a painting or a song or, you know, a this or a that or a brand new hat or a brand new species of cat. How about that? Ha, ha, ha. It doesn't have to be that. Drat. It doesn't have to be something in that venue, that vein. Adel Alamein or Bahrain. Throw a little Arabic in there. So it just doesn't have to be that. Creativity can be a lot of things. It can be writing. It can be just thinking. I mean, meditation helps creativity, and just talking helps creativity. If you're with someone and you're talking along, it can be a wonderful thing because creativity comes in the middle of things. I was once talking to a fellow. He was not real mellow, but he was talking. I was talking to him, and he asked me, "What is the meaning of the Ankh?" And I thought I knew what the Ankh was, and I was going to explain to him that it was the lotus flower, and here's why. And as I began to explain to him, the meaning came to me, and I absolutely explained to him what I believe exactly is the meaning of the Ankh. And it came to me in this creative moment. Now, perhaps it was given to me by an entity who knew what it meant. But it was one of the most creative moments of my life, and it was blew me away because we had had about a ton of coffee, and we were in a, believe it or not, in a Waffle House, which was right next to a sewage processing plant. It was not a plant that made sewage, but it was a sewage processing plant, and this was decades ago. And you know how decades ago you had an idea and you thought, I know what that is, and you think you're so smart. But this was actually the reality of what it meant. And oh my goodness, I was right. I was absolutely right. I still to this day think that that is what the Ankh actually means. And I believe I'm correct. And I think I can back it up, you know. Not on a hard drive or anything, but I can back it up. And I think that if I were to stand before a group of jaded Egyptologists, they would probably say, you're full of it. That's what they would say. Or they might say, you know, maybe he's right. Creativity can come in times of just sitting around, shooting the bull, smoking cigarettes, and drinking coffee. I don't smoke anymore. I do smoke a lot less because I no longer smoke. I used to smoke quite a bit, you know. And I enjoyed it. Not always, but mostly, you know. I smoked a pipe. And cigarettes and cigars. Went to the ball game and I'd take a big wad of tobacco and beech nut maybe and, you know, shove it in the cheek and disgusting habit. Oh my goodness. Oh wow, is that gross. And just enjoyed the heck out of it. Here, kids, watch this. Pick up on this subtle cue. Wowie. But, I worked in a tobacco shop, actually, for quite a while. That was a ton of fun, you know, but horrible, of course, because it is lousy stuff. Jesus. Oh, well. But I loved the stuff. And then one day I just quit. That was it. Done. No more. Couldn't do it. It wasn't like I said, I need to stop this. It was like I couldn't do it anymore. Had a cigarette and just went, ugh. Haven't smoked since. 31, 32 years, something to that effect. I'm about 30, 31, maybe 31. And no, 30. Yeah, 30 years. Just said, that's it. I'm done. Couldn't do it anymore. There, for the grace of God. Thanks a lot, because I did not want to do it ever again. And my brother came to visit. He said, let's have a couple of really good cigars. I got a couple of really good cigars. They're Havanas. I said, aren't those illegal? He said, come on, you're not going to do that. I said, actually, I'm not going to smoke with you. And he was so upset. Oh, my poor kid brother. He's so sweet. He was so upset with me. Come on, I got these just for us to sit and smoke them, and they're delicious. And I said, no, I have no desire to anymore. Such a shame. Anyway, when you're done, you're done. You're done, you're done. So he didn't smoke them. You know, I guess he kept them moist and saved them for someone else who was worth... I was flattered beyond comprehension, you know. He said, I've got this great bourbon. I said, don't do that no more either, you know. I never had a problem with it. I just said, I can't. Don't have any desire, you know. Oh, well, you know, c'est la vie. C'est la vie, c'est la guerre, c'est la pomme de terre. Which, for those of you who don't speak French, that's life, that's war, that's a potato. That's right. I came up to that in French when I was in the seventh grade, and almost that was just... Okay, so back to creativity. So creativity, to me, is one of the most important things in life. Not just because I write an article every week, a column, because some of you may note that it's not always all that creative, but I do my best. I really do. And because I'm on the radio every week, because you may say, this guy's just full of malarkey, to quote our late, not late, he's still around, our last president. Well, I happen to think he was a pretty good guy. He made some mistakes, let's face it, we all do. I certainly made mine. Creativity. A lot of people have a lot of different ideas about creativity. The late, great David Lynch, who passed just last week, he said that negativity is the enemy of creativity. Now, I don't agree with him on that, because I happen to think that negativity is indeed a wonderful lubricant for creativity. I do. I mean, necessity is the mother of invention, it is said. And Frank Zappa was with the mothers of invention for a long time. I wasn't really into Zappa, you know, back in the day. I mean, I was a Dead fan. I was a Deadhead. Still am a Deadhead. And the Dead and Zappa were, you know, I think they were, you know, they knew each other. They're probably friends. That has nothing to do with anything. But the point is that it's one of those things where I believe that when you have adversity, you really do begin to think inwardly a lot. So, for example, I'm not going to get political. I may get political, but I'm going to try not to. But day one of the new administration, if you can call it that, they administer things, that's for sure. There was this, I think, attempt to shock and awe. They wanted their so-called opponents, well, it shouldn't be opponents, should it? Shouldn't it be one country, you know? But anyway, they wanted to, like, freak people out. And I really believe that was their goal, was to freak people out. And they won, and they did that. They did that to a lot of people. I know a lot of people were like, oh, no, God Almighty. You know. And I think they succeeded in that basic emotional trauma. That was what they wanted. And I just kind of sat back and thought, okay, well, yeah, a lot of this is pretty poo-poo. But at the same time, then immediately there are lawsuits and this and that. And you go, okay. So they have to kind of make it stick, you know. It's like pasta. I knew someone of Italian heritage who said that the way you tell if pasta's ready is you throw it against the wall. And if it sticks, then it's ready to eat. Now, if I did that, I would be... hurled against the wall myself. That's what would happen in this house. I would not survive the night. I just taste it, you know, just, you know, boiling hot out of the water, and just give it a little taste and see, is it al dente, you know? And I always thought that'd be a good name for a character in a movie. Yeah, it's al dente, yeah. And it would be so hokey. But it might be a little bit funny. Just a little tiny bit. So it's a time for creativity. And you can see that, you know, that the talk show hosts, at least the ones I watch, there's a little glee, a little twinkle in the eye. You know? They're suddenly better because there's this little grist for them to mill. Yeah. And you think, yeah, there's negativity. And it gives them something to work with. You know that a gizzard in a bird is this muscle, and they have to eat stones, they have to swallow them. They don't eat them, but they kind of do. They swallow these stones. It goes down into their crop and their gizzard. And when they swallow their food, like seeds, corn, hard corn, it goes into the gizzard, and the gizzard grinds it with these rocks that are in there. And so there's something about that. There's something about this idea that when David Lynch said negativity is the enemy of creativity, I think to myself, no, not always, because there's this concept of idleness. You know, you just sit out under the lovely sky. I mean, Isaac Newton was sitting supposedly under an apple tree. Birds singing, cows lowing. They low, you know. Low. And there are sheep's baaing. Some are maaing. And, you know, goats screaming, I guess. I don't think I've ever heard a goat scream. I've heard foxes scream. So what a horrifying sound. Yeah. And so there's all these things going on. And he's sitting under a tree. And what is it that brought this idea to his head of gravity? An apple hits him in the head. Now, that's a pretty negative thing to happen. Apple hits him on the head, you know, it goes, right? And that's like, holy guacamole. That's not a good thing. That's an apple hitting me in the head. And it brought about this incredible creativity, the concept of gravity, you know. What is it? What is it every second? It's 32 feet per second squared. Isn't that it? Something to that effect. I don't remember now. Boy, I used to have a mind like a steel trap, and now it's just rusted up, you know? I remember some things. It's funny. I used to know everyone's birthday. Everyone. My brothers, my sister, my parents, their anniversary, you know, all that stuff. And now it's like my grandkids, I don't know their birthdays. I can still remember my brothers and my sister and my kids and all that. But the grandkids, no. No, I don't remember. It's like, holy mackerel, that second generation, you know, it's like it's gone. I don't know, remember. Well, remember, it's like, take the square root of my birthday and add 13 to it and then divide it by 9. And it's like, no, just no. But adversity. We are forced to come up with creativity at times. So I think that this is going to be an incredibly creative time, you know? I really like this. I like looking at what other people think. Charlie Mingus, the great jazz cat, said, "Making the simple complicated is commonplace. Making the complicated simple, awesomely simple, that's creativity." Man, was he right. I can make anything complicated. I can tell you that. I'm good at that. And I can also make things that are very complicated incredibly simple. And that's what I kind of did with my tarot deck, in my opinion. I took these very complicated ideas and I just really put them back down into some very simplistic ideas about life, you know? I really did. One of the nice things about creativity, think of creativity, if you will, kind of imagine a mala, okay? Just a beads that you might use to recite a mantra. Think of that. You've got this mala, a Bodhi seed mala, for example, or one made out of olive seeds. No, not olive seeds. They do make them. But just olive wood beads or even ebony, something. Doesn't matter. And you've got this mala, and you've been using this mala for, let's just say, 10 years. Every day. And one day, you're using the mala, and the string breaks. Boom. Let's make it simple, 99 beads. 108 beads. All right, let's be traditional. 108 beads, and it's got a Buguru bead, all right? And boom, string breaks, and oh my goodness, you're on carpeting, luckily. And the beads go on the ground. And they're no longer in the order that you used to have. So they're just, well, crapola, man. These beads are not the same as they used to be. And you think to yourself, well, that's no problem. I'll just restring them. So you do. You restring the beads, okay? You put them all back together, and you put them all back on. And it, guess what? Is it the same mala? Well, is it? Well, you've taken the different beads, the same beads, I'm sorry, but you've strung them back together differently. Now, that is really kind of a way of looking at creativity, because there isn't a whole lot that's new. I mean, that's invention, I guess. We take something that is different, that is the same, but it's different, and we string it together in a different way. And that's kind of what thinking is about, right? You just take something and you put it together differently. And that's what creativity is, I think. It's like when you think about songs. A lot of songs out there, but they essentially use the same notes. There aren't a whole lot of notes. I mean, but there really are, right? But you've got the same octave. I play rim-blown flutes. Now, we'll talk about that in just a minute. But these rim-blown flutes, they're kind of different. They're different. For example, the ney, N-E-Y. I've talked about these neys before. And it's hard for me to play the type of music that they were originated in the countries, for example, ancient Egypt. I'm not really sure what ancient Egyptian music sounds like. There are people who do know what it sounds like. I haven't put my head to really seeking out the music that it sounds like. I know what Egyptian music sounds like because I can get on YouTube. Well, my parents used to listen to it all the time. And I was more interested in listening to the Beach Boys and Leslie Gore. Boy, did I have a crush on Leslie Gore. And I loved the Beach Boys and, Annette and all that stuff. I listened to the American music. And so my ear is attuned to the Western sounds, the pop tunes. So when I hear Arabic music, it doesn't sound foreign to me because I grew up hearing it because my parents would listen to it. But it's hard for me to play it on the flute, on the ney. And when I listen to Turkish music, it's hard for me to play it on the Turkish ney, the flute, because it's not what is programmed into my brain, if that makes sense. So when I riff, when I just pick up the ney or any other sort of rim-blown flute, what comes out is not, or when a shakuhachi, which is a Japanese or Chinese flute made out of bamboo, I don't necessarily do one of their tonalities, right? I end up playing something that sounds right to me. So my creativity is based on what I know or what sounds correct to me. So there is this thing about kind of being stuck in your world. And I think that's fascinating. So we are really kind of hindered by what we know. We're kind of hindered by being the established patterns of our lives, you know? So you have to kind of break out from that every now and then. That means creating a cacophony. That means just kind of saying, I'm going to do something that sounds really weird. And so not only do you have to learn how to play the darn thing, which has taken me, I started when I was 18 trying to play these rim-blown flutes. And it took me decades to do it because I had not a clue how to start. Not a clue. And the one I bought in Egypt when I was a young man broke over the years because, oh, you know, of the humidity and changes in humidity and, you know, not... It just worked out over the decades that the thing just broke. And now I've got one. Actually, I just made my mind up that if I could figure out how to play it right, I would order a good one. And I got a good one just today. I haven't unpacked it yet because it's so cold. I want to make sure it comes to temperature first. And so I'm excited to see it, to see how it looks and so on. We'll see how it goes. We'll see. I mean, I can make these things sound now, and I can play them, but can I do it right? Well, right? I don't know. It takes creativity, because even if you play the notes of something, can you do it with creativity? And that's a spark that comes from inside, and there has to be passion involved, and not everyone has the passion, you know? I mean, let's face it, passion is something much more than just desire or just, I mean, passion, what is passion? I mean, creativity is a big part of that. Don't you think that passion is about enjoyment or, now it doesn't always have to be enjoyment, does it? Passion is about life. And so at times you have to really strive for life. You have to really be striving for something. Passion is important when it comes to creativity, I think. Although there is some creativity that's kind of meh, you know. What the heck? I mean, there's some creative aspects of life that are kind of, people kind of phone it in. I mean, Saturday Night Live can be incredibly creative, or it can be just kind of ho-hum. It depends. How about high standards or low standards in creativity? There's a point. I mean, this is really interesting to me, this concept of creativity. I have a friend from junior high school, believe it or not, went to high school with him, and hadn't talked in decades, and suddenly we're kind of back and forthing a little bit, and he's looking for his great creative, as he put it, his swan song. He's in theater. He's been in theater all this time, more off and on, and more on than off. He wants to find something that will really, really show or tap into his creative side. He's incredibly creative. He's an amazing artist. He's an actor. We used to act together. He directed me in a couple of plays, you know, and he's passionate, 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 passionate about everything in life, you know. So, what is our creativity about? Why do we really tap into it? Can you be creative and have common sense? I don't think so. I remember I was once trying to, what do we call that? Spitball, you know, brainstorm with somebody. And they really... I just started, you know, brainstorming. And the person said to me, what are you doing? And I said, I'm just brainstorming. And they said, but you're saying ridiculous things. And I said, what do you mean ridiculous things? They said, well, what you're talking about is nonsense. And I said, well, it's not nonsense. That's what you do when you brainstorm. That's how you tap into creativity. And they claim to have brainstormed before. And they said, well, what you're talking about is just garbage, you know. And I realized that there's no way to brainstorm with this person ever again, ever. Because they were too uptight. You can't really, you have to loosen up, man. You see? And the enemy of that sort of thing is someone trying to tighten you up. And I think that's what's been happening lately, is people are trying to tighten us up. Henri Matisse said, creativity takes courage. Creativity takes courage. And I love that, because it's true. To be creative, you have to take courage, or to be a little stupid like me. Frankly, when I was in my teens, I didn't care what other people thought at a certain point. I just said, I do not care. I do not care. I didn't. I was a hippie freak. And it didn't matter to me what anyone thought. Not my parents, not my peers. I just wanted to like what I did. I liked the way it looked on me. I recently brought my old Tom Mix hat. You know, my Stetson that I bought for, I don't even remember what I paid for it. It wasn't, you know, outrageous like it would be now. Big black Tom Mix hat with a thumb crease right down the middle. I love this hat. I need to clean it up a little bit, vacuum cleaner to it. And I brought it in so I can look at it every day and remind me of who and what I used to be. I was, you know, kind of a nut. Not kind, I was a nut. I was a lunatic. And people stared at me. And I knew they were staring at me. And I didn't mind that they were staring at me because I was part of the counterculture. And I was a creation. I knew that. The way I looked, I won't get into the rest of my regalia, but the hat alone would have, you know, because I certainly weren't no cowboy, ma'am. You know, it was not that at all. I was a freak. A freak. Oh, my goodness. And a good one at that. And even when I came down or up from the big city, I came down from the big city, to the big city from the smaller city, people stared at me. And I didn't perceive myself as being strange. I just perceived myself as being myself. But it was a very creative time in my life. Because I was constantly changing. And you know, it was kind of a strange time. When I moved from here, well, from Colorado to Louisiana, I felt very isolated in the beginning. And so I turned to drawing, artwork, cartooning. And it was a very creative time for me. And, boy, I tell you what. It's amazing what we can do when we really decide what we're going to do. We can really, I mean, I discovered I could study, which surprised the heck out of me, that I could retain information and that I could take tests and pass them pretty well, and real well, that I was a student and a pretty good student. It was the first time. Actually, my first year in college, I was amazed to learn that I could write, because I had never known that before. I had never gotten positive reinforcement in any academic situation before. And that was completely stunning to me to discover that. It's amazing what can happen when you're put into those types of situations of stress, you know? There's some who say that creativity is an energy all unto itself, something without us, that we can call upon. The ancients believed that it was a form of magic. You know? Who's to say it isn't? You know? Maybe it is. Now, Maya Angelou said, everybody born comes from the Creator trailing wisps of glory. We come from the Creator with creativity. She said, I think that each one of us is born with creativity. I love that. I love that. Because it says that we don't have an excuse not to show our creativity, not to tap into it. You know? Huh. Yo-Yo Ma said, passion is one great force that unleashes creativity. Because if you're passionate about something, then you're more willing to take risks. Well, that's certainly true. It was true of Abraham Lincoln, who was passionate about winning the Civil War. He actually went to the battlefield, to the front lines, where he could have been killed. Absolutely could have been killed. He was passionate about that war. He was passionate to win. You know? Just amazing things that people think about creativity. I think creativity is something that is just there. When I was, well, you have to be willing to throw it out there, and you have to be willing to fail. That's one of the most important aspects of creativity. You have to be willing to fail. I failed a lot. I know that I'm not creative when it comes to business because I've failed. I've done okay. But I've been used and abused so many times. And yet I let people do it all the time. I've let people treat me terribly. And it always shows me who people are. When people are willing to use and abuse me, I always say, well, then I know who they are. Boy, my wife gets mad at me more than them, because it's their karma. And it will come to pass at one point or another. And I always say, you know, maybe I'm part of their karma. You know? Maybe I'm there to, yeah, I'm there as something. Who knows? Who knows? But the point is that this is a time for us, and will be a time for us, not to put our heads in the sand, not to follow it day by day. You have to do what's right for you. But this is a time absolutely to tap into our creative forces, to let those creative juices, that's a weird term, but it works, to let our creative forces flow. You know? To do what it is that comes natural to us. Because when it is creativity, it just kind of comes. You just go, oh, what the heck is this? This is something that feels good to me. I like to whittle. Not very good at it, but I do it. I have a project that I started a good 40 years ago, and it has yet to be finished. But when it is finished, I can see it in my mind's eye. It's going to be nothing short of spectacular for me. I had a walking stick that is, I started it. It took me 6 years to restart it. To begin on it again. I started it and I stopped. And then I had to kind of work on the knot I wanted to work on. It's knotted. It's wooden for the core, but then the rest, it's completely covered in rope work, fancy rope work. And actually, it's pretty fantastic. Yeah. I mean, I'm looking at it. And there was a 6-year hiatus, and then one day I said, you know, I think I can figure this out. And I looked up how to do the rope work I needed to do, and then within about a month, I finished it up. Did all the fancy knot work I needed to do. And it was hard work. And I didn't realize it. In the meantime, I'd gotten a little arthritis in my hands. And I said, that's all right. Because the creative isn't always easy, and sometimes it takes a lot out of you. And then I went ahead and said, you know, I want this to last forever. So I went ahead and I put spar varnish on it. Spar varnish is for ships and boats. And that made it as hard as a rock, that rope. And it's never going to go anywhere. And I made a special knob on the top. Looks like a knot, you know. And then I went ahead and stained it with cherry stain, and it stunk. Woo-wee. Smelled those volatile organic compounds, you know. It took a long time for it not to smell anymore. And every time I use it, no matter where I go, someone says, that is really amazing. And it was the product of an idea. And I didn't come up with the idea. I saw it in a museum. And it was wasn't a whole walking stick like that. It was just the top. And it had a little piece of rope around the bottom, a Turk's head it's called. And it was a rope that a whaling captain had had, and the top was made out of whaling ivory, a whale's tooth or something. And I said, what if you did a whole thing with rope? You know, wouldn't that be cool? And that's that creativity. You just go a little bit further, you know. And you think, I bet I could do that. And so for some crazy reason, you say, I think I could do that. And you do it. I went to a local Whole Foods, and they have a bell. And when you buy fish, they ring that bell. They don't do it anymore because they're too lazy. And I thought, what a terrible piece of rope that is. It's so boring. I said, do you mind if I make you a really fancy bell rope tugger there? And they said, sure, you can do whatever you want. We don't care. So I made them this beautiful bell pull, you know, bell rope. And I took it to them. And it's still there, although it's grungy now. And I realized I should have painted it and done the same thing that I did to my rope. And I didn't do it for the recognition or anything else. I did it just for the fun of it. And you do things in life just for the fun of it sometimes, you know? You don't do it for the permanence of it. You do it just so you can do it. I have another walking stick over here that I started when I was about 18. It's still there. You know, I'm 70. And I haven't finished it because I realize now I probably never will, because it's kind of boring. But what I did, I started carving a chain on the side, an actual chain out of wood. And I realized I don't think I'm going to finish that, but it's still here. It was a creative thing inside of me that just itched to try it. And I probably could finish it, but, you know, I have other things I'm working on. And that's the creativity within us. There's always something itching at me. You know, that's why I love magic so much, sleight of hand magic. Because I've always said that magicians are some of the most creative minds in the world, that if they'd put their brains to feeding the poor, there wouldn't be a hungry kid on the planet. They'd all be, you know, overweight. You know, they're geniuses because they come up with these ridiculous ideas on how to fool people. And they're brilliant. I mean, I've seen, oh my God, you know, I've known magicians most of my life. And they come up with these incredible ways to do things, to fool other people. And you say, how does this brain work? The creativity they have. And it's all based on one concept. How can I fool somebody? That's an amazing idea. And that leads me right into metaphysics. Because when you're doing cards, for example, tarot, someone asks you a question, and you're going to cut a card. You know, you've got a card of tarot, you've got a deck of tarot cards. Deck of tarot cards. And you got these 78 cards, and you're going to pull one card. And if you read reversals, well, that's a pretty big, you know, chunk of possibilities. So you pull the card, and you've got this card, but you don't have that many meanings. So it's the creative mind that says, well, this is what it means. This is what it means. You've got to come up with it. But that creative mind immediately comes up with the answer. That's intuition, isn't it? And I think that oftentimes intuition and creativity are one and the same. That's the beauty of creativity. That's the beauty of intuition. Now, sometimes intuition can be wrong. That happens. And I think it happens. We can want something too much. And that's the problem. That's when it's stagnant. You know, when the world becomes a little stagnant. When we don't entertain, you know, the possibility that corruption is involved. When we believe too much in an ideal. I happen to believe in ideals. I'm someone who believes in ideals as being constants. I do. I believe in the purity of certain institutions. And I believe that that's just the way they are, and they're not going to change. And I know I've been proven wrong. But that's the way it goes. That's the way it goes. That's the way it goes. You know, some people think that for creativity to be there, you have to be silent. You have to just be silent and let things come up. Now, I've gotten some great ideas, incredibly creative ideas in meditation and in silence. But then again, I've had some amazing creative ideas in cacophonous situations. I was watching a magician once in Las Vegas. This was decades ago, back when I was doing yo-yos professionally. And I was watching a really good magician on stage. He was brilliant and a very enjoyable act. But in the middle of his act, I suddenly had this incredibly creative moment where I came up with an idea for my own act. And it was a magical yo-yo act. And I came up with a bunch of tricks that I could do. And they all would have worked. But then I decided not to do it because it was just kind of too much, you know. I thought, do I really need to be the magical yo-yo man? I thought, I think it's enough to just do what I was doing, you know. Just be who I am. Didn't think it needed that extra little push. I think I was right about that. So creativity, what are you passionate about? What are you passionate about? What is it that moves you? What is it that turns you on? You know? What is it that you want to do? What is it that you want to involve yourself with? You've got to go to it. You've got to jump into the middle of it. I used to teach tarot classes back in the brick and mortar 12th house days, the 12th house bookstore. What a beautiful time that was. I used to teach before that too. And people would complain to me. They'd be really a little bit angry, not a little bit, some people would be downright mad at me. And they would say, Mo, you make it look too easy when you do tarot readings. You make it look too easy, and that's not fair. And I said, what do you mean? They'd say, when you do a reading, you just make it look way too easy. It's not that easy. And you say, well, wait a minute. I don't know how not to make it easy. And they said, well, it's not fair because what you're teaching us is not that easy. And I said, well, this is just the groundwork. You have to learn this stuff first. And they said, well, that's not what it looks like. It looks like you're doing something much easier than this. I mean, you make it look like there's nothing to learn. And I said, well, but there is a lot to learn. But once you learn this stuff, then, and they say, I don't want to learn anything. I just want to sit down and just turn over cards and know what they mean. And it's like, well, that's not how it goes, you know. But you can, well, you can just turn over cards and say what comes to your mind. Try that. Even that wasn't the thing, you know. But the truth of the matter is, once you learn the meanings and all that stuff, really you can forget all that because it's about creativity. Divination, to a certain point, is simply a creative process where you are creating a story. I used to do a thing in the class where I would say, okay, shuffle up a deck. Shuffle up a deck and tell a story. Begin with the first card. Turn over the deck. Turn over the card. And just turn over card by card by card and start telling a story. And that's all you do, is tell the story. And it was such fun. And when people got into it and they could do it, it was, and you should try this, you know. Do it with a regular deck if you want, but it's much better with an Oracle deck, of course. You can do it with a Lenormand deck, if you'd like. But with a Tarot deck, of course, it's just that much easier. If you know the meanings of the cards. But if you have a deck, you know, like I can take my deck and I just turn over a card and I say, okay, here was a situation with strife, with policemen who are walking down the street in New Orleans during Mardi Gras when they see a guy hanging out of a tree. And that guy is very, very strong, and they don't know why he's doing it. He's definitely the silent type. And there's a lady who's saying, please don't hurt him. I know him, but she's under a lot of pressure, and it looks like she's about to have a real problem. She's not at peace, and I'm just going through cards in my deck, you know, so I didn't even shuffle it up. Just at that time, a real scary guy comes out of the dark, and they, you know, and I could go on and on and on. And that's just looking at the my cards in order, and you could just make, you tell a story. And that's a good thing to do, because what that does is that that really draws upon your creativity. It's a good exercise, wonderful exercise. So if you have a deck that has cards that have pictures on it and meanings and, you know, whatever, then do that. It'll help to build your creativity. This is an excellent time for that. If you're a writer and you like to write, then this is the perfect time to start writing. Just write stories. Stories are a wonderful way to go. You know, people write stories all the time that end up selling. If you do, you know, videos on the internet, why not start doing them? Boy, I tell you what, Facebook, they have these reels. They're some of the stupidest things. They're trying to figure out what I like. And it's insidious. I'm really not very happy with the things that they're trying to offer me up. It's like, what are you people pandering to? Really very, very strange. But there are also these things that are not very creative. I mean, some are ridiculously stupid, and some are downright sinister, in my opinion. Some are bordering on entrapment, in my thoughts. But it's like, what do you do? What is this? What is this? This whole thing, our culture has become, obviously, has become very strange. So don't use this time to fret. You know, don't go to the old school of when in danger or in doubt, run in circles, scream and shout. Instead, go to the place of using your creativity. Go to the place of searching inwards or outwards. Be creative. Artwork, which can be anything, anything, collages, mobiles, drawing, singing, you know, twanging, or whatever that means. You know, you can do country western. That's twanging. Just whatever makes you feel good. this is a time to indulge yourself, and this is the perfect environment to do it. Don't worry. Everything's going to be fine. I'm pretty sure about that, okay? Yeah, Mo, but you're pretty sure of some other things, too. Yeah, I know. And I have a pretty good idea of why things worked out the way they did. Okay? So let's just leave it at that, because I don't want to get into it right now. Some other time, right? I think history will bear out what's going on. But it's very important for us to be who we are and what we are, and to take advantage of the good things that exist. Okay? All right. Good enough for me. Have a good week, will you? And remember, I love you. Until next week, peace and love. Bye.
Until next we meet, I'll be waiting for you right here in the Paisley Penny Arcade. 1, 2, 3.
Support was amazing. The clarity, the speed, the lack of fear, and mostly the feeling that this person actually cared resulted in me making empowered choices that changed everything for the better. The choices we make have consequences. So make yours with good advice in your corner. 12listen.com. It's the right choice for the best advice. 12listen.com.